You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Gulton.
I'm Brian Wolfmuller. In studio.
Do we even have a guest? I mean, we're all hosting.
That's right.
What's happening here?
Someone else can talk
to. Jordan.
Jordan's engineering while eating his lunch. We are recording at the LCMS convention in Phoenix, Arizona. And we've been recording quite a bit here at the convention. So you're hearing about the convention for like a month.
It's
on
true.
The Coffee Hour.
Sorry. No, sorry, actually.
Well, at the convention, it's just a great opportunity to catch up with so many people across the LCMS and beyond, with our sister churches as well. And we had the opportunity to catch up with Pastor Brian Wolfmuller. And today we'll learn how he learned a new language and culture to bring the gospel to the deaf in Austin.
I was wondering what we're going to talk about. So that's it.
Now you
Don't
know.
You love that?
Big like, reveal.
Ambush episodes with Pastor Wolfmuller. We should do that on a regular basis.
Yeah, that's great.
Ambush episodes.
I'm ready.
Oh, we've got a new series. This is series one in Ambush the Pastor. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Chicago. You can learn more about Concordia University Chicago by visiting cuchicago.edu.
Well, if you haven't figured it out, today our guest is the Reverend Brian Wolfmuller. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church and Jesus Deaf Lutheran Church in Austin, Texas. Pastor Wolfmuller, welcome back to The Coffee
Great.
Hour.
Oh, of course. Great to see you guys, too, in person.
I know.
In the flesh.
We should have just had you host for these episodes instead of me. Great guest host.
That would have been fun.
We've still got another
Tell us about your learning sign language, Andy Bates.
That was many, many, many years ago. So, what does deaf ministry look like at Jesus Deaf Lutheran Church in Austin, Texas today?
So, maybe a half step back on that. There's a humongous deaf population in the world, and concentrated in different places in the United States. Austin, Texas is one of the top five locations for deaf. It's the Texas School for the Deaf is a long-standing, very popular school, and the deaf community oftentimes will be around those schools. So probably Rochester Institute of Technology in New York and also Gallaudet in Washington, D.C. would be the other major hubs, but Austin is one of those hubs. So there's a big deaf population in Austin, Texas, which is great. The deaf population, though, is one of the least served in the whole world as far as the proclamation of the gospel goes. And there's a number of reasons for it. There is a unique deaf culture that's not a theological Christian culture. There's also, and this is an interesting thing to think about. Most of the time, the faith is passed down from parent to child, but a lot of times there's a disconnect between deaf children and hearing parents.
Mm-hmm.
And my best analogy is, if you imagine you had children and they could only speak Chinese, they couldn't speak English, and you had to learn Chinese to be able to communicate with them. It normally goes the other way around, that the children learn the language from the parents. But if the children are deaf, they can't learn English from their parents, so that the parents have to enter into their language world. And the statistics are really amazing. It's very few parents will really learn enough ASL to pass on the faith to their children. They'll learn some home sign and the ability to communicate kind of very, very simply. But a lot of people just don't have the capacity or wherewithal or whatever to be able to learn ASL. So that disconnect between the children and the parents means that a lot of the deaf children are getting their worldview from their peers at the deaf schools, or even if they're mainline, from their peers that are there. And the result is that very few deaf people are Christian and are baptized. It's like 3%, 5% or something, if the statistics of percentage of Christians in the deaf community. So the work is difficult, so important, and so needed. And so our little deaf church, Jesus Deaf Lutheran Church, sits right across from the deaf school for the deaf, beautiful location, and it's been there for probably 65 years now. It's one of the few still standing standalone deaf congregations, and it has a dual parish relationship with St. Paul Lutheran Church in Austin, Texas. So I serve both congregations, hearing and deaf. It looks like on a weekly basis, we have Bible study at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and church at 3. So I'll do the stuff at the hearing church in the morning and have a sandwich for lunch and then get to the deaf church and teach there. I've got an associate who works with me part-time at the deaf church, and our vicar just finished, but we've had two vicars, and they've all worked at the deaf church and learned sign language, too, in that time. So it's great.
On a one-year vicarage.
Mm-hmm.
That's impressive.
In fact, one of them who finished his vicarage a year ago, just took his first call, and his call includes deaf ministry in it. So it's amazing.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
What an opportunity for you to have to be a newcomer into this at one point, which we'll get to in a second, but to have that opportunity now as a place where vicars can come and have that experience to just expand the opportunities for deaf ministry.
Yeah, so the church was really impressed with how quickly I learned sign language. And then we started getting vicars and they'd learn it in a year. And they're like, well, it's not so impressive anymore. What took you so long?
Womp womp.
Yeah, I know. These whippersnappers, you know, they're bah, 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 bah. 3 months in, they're preaching in signs. So
oh, my goodness. I imagine the immersion of it, though, probably helps quite a bit.
It's great. And there's, you know, so for the vicars, we do an hour instruction, just one-on-one kind of tutoring ASL every week. And then they're also involved in the congregation. They're learning that. So by the end, they know all this vocab that I don't even know. Like, hey, wait a minute. You remember the number one rule of vicarage is you're not supposed to know anything that your senior pastor doesn't know. And they break that rule all the time now. It's amazing to see.
So what was it like being a newcomer to deaf ministry when you took this call to St. Paul and Jesus Deaf Lutheran Church? What was that like for you coming into that situation?
So I had no sign. I mean, there's a picture. It's kind of a cool picture. It's my installation day, and there's a handful of the folks from the deaf church, and they were teaching me how to sign Brian.
Oh.
You know, I didn't know the ABCs or anything.
Yeah.
And I remember when I had the call, the way it was given to me was, well, you'll go over there once a month to the deaf church and preach, but we'll have an interpreter. And then the deaf church comes to St. Paul and they have an interpreter once a month. And then the other two, they're Bible studies. And we can provide interpreters for you. So if you learn ASL, if you could spend some time doing it, it'd be wonderful. But it wasn't even expected. But I remember 2-3 weeks into the call, and I was sitting and I was hearing a confession and it was being interpreted. And so I started to work on it. And it turns out that, like, whatever part of the brain learns sign language, I have. So I don't have the part of the brain that learns the other languages. I mean, that is like forced, like, to get the Greek in there and to get the Hebrew in there. But sign language kind of flowed nicely. In fact, the deaf folks at the church said, well, you already sort of spoke in signs. You just didn't know what the signs were. You're always flailing around like this, you know. So we just had to kind of rein it in a little bit. And so it's been a beautiful thing to learn the language, because it's not just, you know, there's so much with sign. It's not just the handshape. It's the non-visual markers. It's the, you know, the shape of your mouth. It's the expression that's there. It's the way that you turn, and there's a whole new grammar to it. It's a three-dimensional language. And a lot of times I'll be working on a sermon or something in English, and I'm like, man, I wish I could preach this in ASL. Because it preaches better. It makes more sense. So it's been a wonderful thing to be learning. I'm still a student, but to be learning ASL.
That's beautiful. What did you find to be most helpful as you were learning this language? Mm. You mentioned that other languages were challenging for you. This one seemed to come more naturally. Oh. What was helpful as you were learning ASL? I know you were jumping right in.
Well, the huge thing is that, and this is not true for all of the deaf community. A lot of the deaf community will be sort of isolated, and if you're learning ASL, they're like, well, you know, if you're out eating dinner with a group of deaf people, and someone will come over and start talking and telling their name and signing to them, like, but my congregation and the people at JDLC were so patient and willing to let me experiment, to try things, they saw that I was wanting to communicate, and the deaf are experts at deciphering nonverbal languages. I mean, they live that their whole life, every day. They're navigating this hearing world, and they're deciphering what's going on around them. So there's a big gap where they can fill in my inadequacies in the language with their own capacity to understand. And so we were willing to exploit that for a little bit. So, you know, I would preach something and say something crazy, but they knew what I was talking about. There's two really obnoxious stories. Yeah. But one time that I was trying to pray for Richard, a member who was going to have surgery. And so I was trying to pray, Lord, give to Richard a wise doctor But instead, I prayed, Lord, give to Richard an Egyptian deaconess.
Oops.
And this was in the prayer of the church, right? And they're like, huh. Remember, I went to see Richard the next day. And I'm like, well, did you find an Egyptian deaconess? So that's just, but it's great. Like, I'm not worried about that because they're not worried about that. It's okay. You know, we can just give it a shot and we'll get there. And so a lot of times I'll be preaching. I'll be like, I forgot the word. What's the word for this? Or I'll spell it and they'll show me the sign. Or there's just a lot of that back and forth. And really, Bible class in the afternoon is like half Bible study, half sign study. And doing the theological stuff, like, well, what's the sign for that word that's in the Bible? And there's a lot of theology that's like embedded in the sign itself because it's such a marvelous picture language. Like the sign for eternal, you make a Y and you press it out. That's so eternal life. Christ is eternal, and that Y goes forward and backwards because he's into the eternity past and the eternity future. But our life is not eternally past, but it is eternally present. And so even just to be able to kind of study and discuss the signs and what the picture means is marvelous.
I really want to learn ASL now.
It's cool. There's layers to it too. I mean, deeper and deeper. And there's even a ASL poetry, ASL singing in a way, which is different because it's more picturesque, it's more flowy, and it's a beautiful thing too. We've had to wrestle with that. What does it mean to sing hymns in ASL? And I'm looking forward to some hymns growing up in ASL, not taking like English hymns or German hymns and translating them to ASL, but letting the hymns grow up in ASL. And I think that's going to be really amazing thing to see.
That is so cool. We're talking about Deaf Ministry at Jesus Deaf Lutheran Church with the Reverend Brian Wolfmuller. We need to take a quick break. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Brian Wolfmuller.
I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago. I'm thrilled to announce the Prepared to Serve Church Professional Guarantee. Any new student in one of CUC's 6 church work programs will pay no more than $5,000 in annual tuition and required fees guaranteed. Prepared to Serve is a donor-funded initiative. Support future church work students by becoming a funding partner at cuchicago.edu/prepared-to-serve. Concordia University Chicago. With Christ at the center, we stand tall for the church.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Brian Wolfmuller.
We are talking with the Reverend Brian Wolfmuller, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church and Jesus Deaf Lutheran Church in Austin, Texas, while we are in Phoenix, Arizona, at the LCMS Synodical Convention, talking about deaf ministry. You've been talking about how learning sign language, learning the culture has just been really great for you, great for the people. Were there misconceptions that you had or things that you kind of assumed that it would be like before you got to this call, and ways that you unlearned some things maybe that you had
you
had thought beforehand?
A lot of hearing people, and I am including myself in this, don't know what to do with deaf people because you know that you cannot communicate with them and they cannot communicate with you. And so there's this kind of awkwardness, and there's also a misunderstanding a lot of times that people assume that people who are deaf are also somehow diminished, that there's a disability that's kind of working. Sometimes there is, but most of the time there's not. It's just there's just a deafness that's there. But this is the sign for awkward. There's an awkwardness that hearing people have around deaf people. I had that myself, and I get to see it a lot now. So when the deaf will come over and visit the hearing church, or whenever I'm traveling, you know, I've been on trips or at deaf ministry conferences or something, and you see hearing people just not knowing how to do things or like talking really loud. It's like that, you know, doesn't help. trying to navigate that. And maybe just like advice for hearing people is this: you're dealing with real people. Don't worry about it. Don't stress out. The deaf are used to communicating to people who don't know ASL their whole life. they're doing that. So you can let the deaf people take the lead in the communication, to just pay attention to what's going on and to recognize that this conversation is going to be different than a normal conversation, but say that's going to be all right. And to look and to love the people that you're interacting with. This is great. I mean, the most deaf people, they'll either ignore you, but if they are interacting with you, they're going to help you on the way. So that'll be great. And to show them that they're loved and respected, is a wonderful gift that we as Christians can give.
Prior to going into to accepting the call to St. Paul's and to Jesus Deaf Lutheran Churches, you've been a pastor for several years. You've been creating a lot of content that helps people understand theology in a way that maybe other media has not helped us. you provided some great content, and including helping us here at KFUO with lots of great content.
Yeah, glad to be part of it.
How has all of that prior work helped you in your ministry and caring for deaf souls?
Yeah, it's all, so there's, the gospel is about communication. The gospel is good news. It's this message of the resurrection of Jesus. And so that communication involves not only the communicator, but, and the message that's being communicated, but also that's able to be received. And so, it's tricky on radio because you don't get to see people listening, like nodding their head and this sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it's great to kind of work on all of these different mediums. So doing all the online stuff and doing all the in-person stuff and to see how people are reacting to what you're doing, to be able to engage in that kind of communication was helpful. So then when I went into ASL, I could just kind of instinctively tell if I was communicating. Mm. I mean, I knew maybe that I was using the wrong signs, or that I wasn't even using signs at all, or that whatever, but I could tell, oh, that was I was communicating something there, or I wasn't. So that was helpful. And I've been able to lean into this because again, my ASL vocab is terrible. My ASL grammar is terrible, but I am able to recognize, oh, that actually communicated something. That was understood. I gave a message and it was received. So that's been really helpful.
Have you learned anything about, I don't know, theology, the character of God,
what
we believe, just in having to learn how to share the gospel in a different way, in a different language? What have you learned about our theology?
Cool. Because sign, not every sign, but many signs are pictures. They carry their meaning with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really have to think about the thing itself. Like, just as an example, the word baptism is normally this kind of like you're dunking someone, baptism. But we, in our church, we use a water splash for baptism because we're not doing this. We're actually doing this for baptism. So you're thinking about a different sign. Or what about the word righteousness?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you communicate that term righteousness? So you can have right things, but that's not quite right. We say make right clean for the gospel righteousness, or do right for the law righteousness, so that there's different signs to communicate the different the word in the different context. And to sit there and to like dig into that. How do we say that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son in the creed? It's a difficult kind of concept to say. So when we confess the creed, we say from the Father, from the Son, and then that's just simply the way that it's done. But it really forces you to kind of dig into what is it that you want to communicate, because with most verbal languages, the meaning is not embedded in the sound. It's connected to the word, but it's not embedded in the sound. But in sign, a lot of times the meaning is actually embedded in the sign itself. So you have to be really careful about those signs that you use.
When you prepare a sermon, do you write a transcript or do you write notes?
If you could change that when to if.
If you prepare a sermon? Okay. I was just curious, do your notes look different for your...
Totally. In fact, for years, we were on two different lectionaries. We're doing the 3-year at St. Paul and the 1-year at JDLC. Mm-hmm. And that was on purpose because I wanted the sermon to be different. I didn't want it to like take the English sermon and try to translate it into ASL. I wanted the sermon to grow up in ASL itself. Mm. And it's still like that. So it's a little bit different now because we're both on the 1 year in both churches. And so it's I'm thinking about the same gospel text and bringing it into it. But I want the ASL sermon to have its own proprium, to be its own thing, because it's a different shape. It's a different shape of communication. Although last Sunday, the vicar preached in the morning, and he preached this beautiful sermon about how all of world history can be understood in three trees. And that actually goes really well at ASL. So I preached that sermon sort of in the afternoon, too. I just grabbed that idea, and I said, all right, we're going to do this. So, but some sermons are just going to be better in English, and some sermons are going to be better communicated in ASL. And so I want to be able to think about that ASL and to do it on purpose.
Have your experiences in deaf ministry, everything we've been talking about, has that changed or shaped or influenced how you consider other opportunities, other things that happen, even if it's not something that's deaf ministry specific, but what you've learned from having to do all of these things, learning ASL, learning how to preach the gospel in different language, has it shaped how you encounter other challenges and other opportunities?
Yeah, thank you. I think so. It's been, one, to just see the Lord's provision. Mm. So here I have this call, and I realized, man, I got to learn this language, and how am I going to do that? So I started praying for the gift of tongues, but really it's the gift of hands, and that the Lord would provide that, and to see the Lord answer that prayer. So when the Lord puts us in an office and he gives us a responsibility, he also gives us the Spirit to support us in that office. And I've probably realized that more at JDLC than in all my other time and place of ministry. And so to know that and to take that confidence of how the Lord provides, to the promise that the Lord does provide, to hold on to that, that's marvelous.
That's outstanding. How can we learn more about your work, the Lord's work at Jesus Deaf Lutheran Church?
You better search for Jesus Deaf Lutheran Church. I can't remember the website. But if you search for Jesus Deaf Lutheran Church, Austin, Texas, you can find our church website and learn more there. We have a YouTube channel where we have some videos up there, but the goal is to expand that. So to start doing more ASL videos, you can also look for Signs of Concord. That's another great, there's a lot of other resources, but you look for Signs of Concord, and that's a ministry that's working on bringing our Lutheran theology into ASL, and there's a lot of great resources there too. So,
the Reverend Brian Wolfmiller, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church and Jesus Deaf Lutheran Church in Austin, Texas. Thanks for being with us on
great.
The Coffee Hour.
Thanks for having me. Let me crash the show. What was it, Ambush?
Yeah.
Ambush episode?
Ambush the pastor.
I love this, where we just don't tell him what the topic is.
You know,
is.
I really think we should keep doing this.
I think you should. You could actually ambush each question, totally different this topic. What are we talking about now?
Oh, my goodness. No.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golson.
I'm Brian Wolfmiller.
The Coffee Hour is a production of KFUO. This program and our station are dependent on listeners just like you. To support KFUO Radio, our podcast, and all the other programming, please make your gift or pledge today at kfuo.org/give and help us continue sharing the good news of Christ for you anytime, anywhere. kfuo.org/give.